Well, I'm rejoicing as the Lord has blessed us already with great service.
Amen.
Oh, Chad, wonderful time in Sunday school. I really appreciate the pastor.
Amen.
We hate that Brother Hall is sick, but we really enjoyed the great message this morning.
Amen.
And the help that God has given his heart and helped us today.
Amen.
So we want to thank each one of you for coming. I know that we've got a good many out, but we're thankful that you're here.
Amen.
And I appreciate what the Lord's been doing in my life. I really thank Him for everything that He's done.
Amen.
And I want to just find a place to launch off on. I really love your pastor. I love the stand that he takes. And there's just so many of the men of God changed their mind about so much.
Oh, yes, sir.
And they've changed their mind about the book of God.
Sure. Yes, sir.
But they've changed their mind about standards of God.
Yes, sir.
And I bless the Lord for your pastor, for his friendship, for the years that I've known him. I used to come here when Brother Hall was here.
Amen.
And I love Brother Hall.
Amen.
I was teasing him. We got together yesterday, and the Lord blessed us with a good day yesterday.
Amen.
And I really thank the Lord for how he's been good to let us have friends.
Amen.
One of the greatest treasures of our life is to have friends.
Amen.
People of like faith.
Yes.
I thank God for this church.
Amen.
And your relationship to God.
Yes.
And our fellowship together. We count it a real joy and a privilege to be with you today and to be able to share the Word of God with you. We had such a wonderful time yesterday. We just sat around and talked about the Lord.
Amen.
We didn't even talk about you. How about that?
Amen.
I've been in some meetings that that's what it was.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It kind of made me feel bad about getting up the next morning. But we're so thankful for your pastor's love for the ministry and for the people of God here. And for following this great work that God has already put a foundation to.
Amen.
And it's just some folks can do that. Others can work in the foundation, and that's all they can do.
Yep.
Right.
All right, you turn in your Bibles, please, to, I think we'll start off with one verse, chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. Genesis 37. And I want to read this verse of Scripture and prayer. This verse 1 has a launching pad for me for what I want to say. It introduces the life of Joseph. He was one of the greatest. He's the type of Christ and one of the greatest avenues of character. You want to study somebody that had character, go with Joseph.
That's right.
And I appreciate the man of God for the years that the Lord has put this in my heart. And so I'll read this verse of Scripture and you can be seated. The Bible said in verse number 1, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." Father, as I humble myself, I really thank you for the privilege to be here today. And I thank you for the testimony of a great young preacher who's come be with the pastor. I appreciate Brother Plemons so much. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done in his life. great men of God that you put in this life. We want to thank you for the pastor here, followed by the hall. And I want to thank you for the people that are backing the ministry of the man of God. I want to thank you for the giving. And Lord, for the blessing of being able to have church friends. And I want to thank you for this pastor, for the many pastors across our country. I really pray for Brother Sammy and for his wife. And Lord, that you'd help Jim. She'd been low. And I pray that you would help the brother's dad that we've talked about this morning. And Lord, I ask you to help Brother Stenny. I know many times of us eating together, we enjoyed fellowship together. And he can't swallow his food and enjoy his food. And I ask you to help him, Lord. I ask you to touch him and help him, Lord. And bless us today. May our minds be clear. We say what you want us to say to help this people today. And we'll thank you for all that you do. Thank you for my wife and for my children. Thank you for the good privilege that we've had this week. We've had an enjoyable time. And I thank you, Lord, so much that we had this great fellowship yesterday. And we pray now that you'd bless today, meet the needs in our life, speak to our heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As a launching pad, I'm really aware of God's method of taking care of His children. Now, I think about the preacher preached this morning about Abraham, and I've been sort of thumbing this in my mind down through the years about God's promise to Abram and God's promise to his seed.
Yeah.
And how that God's promise is extended down through the life of Jacob. The promise is not so much to Abraham as it is to Isaac and to Jacob.
That's right.
And so God has prepared a man, and God's put a man. It is here that we find the 12 tribes of Israel. It is here where God makes a launching pad through the Bible to help us. And I'm so glad that God has chosen His nation, Israel. And I'm glad that God, when He changed the name of this man, that He put His emphasis upon Israel.
Amen.
And let me say to you that I want to talk to you a little bit today about Jacob. And the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Yes, sir, it does.
Out of the different categories of interest that I've seen God dealing with Jacob in his life is his afflictions. And sometimes they're the greatest thing ever happened to our life. We don't like to talk about it. But it's great to go with God no matter what it takes to go with God. And I'm thinking about Jacob. He's a supplanter. He's really just a trickster. He don't look like he's God's tool. And I want to say to you that there's been a many coattail we followed that didn't look like God's too.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm glad that the Lord knows more about the individual. I'm glad that there's God into this situation of life.
Amen.
Rather than just our human feelings.
Yes.
And I stumbled as I've been preaching on the life of Joseph here down in South Carolina. And in so doing, I've been talking about how that Jacob's affliction came when they sent that coat back, that coat of many colors, and it's caked with blood, and Jacob didn't check it to see if it's really real. He didn't try to find out if it was goat's blood or if it was sheep blood. He just went with the flow. A lot of times we don't know exactly what God's doing in our life, but the Bible tells us that Jacob, he loved all of his children, I'm sure, but Israel loved Joseph more. I'm not saying it's a good thing to separate your feelings for your family. And if I could say anything, I'd say to you that we need to bind our heart together to love all of our children.
Sure.
And somehow or another treat all of them in the fashion. But
right. It's
impossible for us not to love supremely someone. And somehow or another, maybe God will help you today to realize where your place is. But let me say to you that it's very vital and important that we realize that the suffering that Jacob went through, in fact, when I got to that place there, I noticed that Jacob said over here in chapter 37, when he's closing the chapter, he said all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Sad commentary had come into Jacob's life. And you'd like to think that the struggles that we have in our life, they're afflictions that come to our life. And the struggle is very vital and important to us, each one of the struggles. And so my heart went back to where struggling began with Jacob's life. And I went back to the life of his dad, of which he was a stranger to where he was. And Jacob, I want to talk to you first of all about his struggle with birth.
Right.
Now, this thing don't start somewhere in life. It has, I don't know if it has a start. Somewhere you venture in your time into eternity. You unveil yourself into the eternity of God. One way we understand what God is doing is just reading what God did in other people's lives. Now, here's what I want to show you. Go back to chapter 25 with me, please. Chapter 25. In Genesis 25, we have something that I want to kind of look at. Whenever Isaac come together with his wife, and Isaac was 40 years old, verse 20 says, and he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Cyrenian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban. And Laban the Cyrenian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Some time is passing by as as the confidence of a marriage is put together, and I love that Old Testament story, the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah.
Amen.
It's a beautiful story. But then whenever they come together, he's entreating the Lord because he don't understand why things are not developing. They're not working. But here's what the Bible said. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, there's so much that's taking place in the life of Rebekah and Isaac. And they don't understand what's happening. But it's so much happening in the life of Jacob. And here's what I want to talk to you about. Verse 22 says the children struggled in the womb of their mother. They were fighting. They were trying to get ahead of one another.
That's right.
Could I say it in the right form? The one wanted to supersede the other. I don't understand how much knowledge God gives. And let me stop and say this. Hey, you call it a fetus you want to, but I'm going to tell you what. That baby was alive. And those babies were alive.
Yep.
And babies are alive. And I don't know how soon God starts dealing with a person's life. But I know he's dealing with Jacob's now.
That's right.
And I want to say to you, it's very vital and important. Now, whenever John the Baptist got in the presence, when Mary and Elizabeth got together, they got in the presence of one another.
Yeah.
He leaped for joy because he knew he was in the presence. They were both still in the womb.
Right.
Now, the reason we don't see a lot of that anymore is because we don't really believe God like we ought to.
You're right.
But here it is in bold writing. I mean, here's what God said. It said the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. That's a place to go to. Shame on these folks that are murdering these babies.
Amen.
Thousands of them.
Yep.
Taken out of the womb. Killed.
Yep.
They were very much alive.
Yes, sir.
If that happened in your life, I'm not trying to bring any memory to you. I'm not trying to bring any hurt to you.
Right.
But you can correct that and not go any further.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this. The Lord said to her, the Lord, okay, I'll help you, Rebekah. He said, two nations are in thy womb. And two manner of people be separated from thy bowels. Now, the one of them is going to be a stronger people than the other. I want to see if I can say this right. You see, whenever you come to birth, earning a birthright, when they're twins. Now, the battle is within the womb, and the battle is over the birthright.
Right.
And the battle is who is going to be able to follow that. Who's going to be in the lineage line? And so there's a struggle going on. She don't understand why it is, but God said to her, said, just be of good cheer. In other words, what God is saying, I'm taking care of it for you.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, well, if God's using the nation of Israel, if God is going to bless Jacob, if God's anointing is on Jacob, if God's going to use Jacob, why didn't Jacob come out first? Because we've got a battle to face.
That's right.
And these two nations are and two nations of people, two kinds of people. They're struggling together. So, but here's what I want you to say. I want you to see. Verse number 23, the Bible says in the latter part of the verse, it says, the elder shall serve the younger. Yep. Now, that's God's declaration of what's taking place. In other words, I don't know if Isaac knew what Rebekah knows. But Rebekah knows because the Lord told her,
yep,
when the younger comes out, they'll be the one be served.
That's right.
Well, whenever the birthing canal starts at work, and the child, that Esau won the victory.
Yep.
He come out first. But Jacob is a fighter. And Jacob knows he's got to be in the place where God can use him. I don't know how much Jacob knows as a fetus, but I know one thing. He, through his life, began to know and saw the hand of God in his life.
Amen.
Somehow or another, I can't help but believe that the sovereign God of Jacob began to work. You see, these patriarchs didn't come out of Abraham.
Right.
Didn't come out of Isaac.
Yep.
They come out of Jacob.
Amen.
And what God is doing in the life of Jacob cannot be done in the life of Isaac or done in the life of Abraham.
Uh-huh.
Now, I want you to note something with me. This lineage thing, it's very vital and important. And you know the devil tried to come there in the inauguration days of the family, and he had Cain kill Abel. He made a mistake there. He thought that Abel was the one, because Abel pleased God. Cain did not please God, so he said, "I'll take Abel's life and do away." No, Seth was involved.
Amen.
And he's the one that has risen to the lineage.
That's right.
In other words, we have got to believe that this Bible promotes us to know a God that is in charge.
Amen.
I'm a little bit concerned about America.
Yes, sir.
I'm concerned about the problems that America faces.
Yes, sir.
And I don't necessarily respect all the attitudes that Trump might have, but I am thankful we've got somebody that's concerned about our country.
Amen.
And if you get your mind in the right place, you'll vote for him too. Because it's highly important to have our country bordered.
Amen.
Now, this lineage thing, it's very vital and important, this lineage thing. Could I say to you that Isaac, the Bible said Isaac, where is it at? Let me look over here. It said that in verse number 28, said Isaac loved Esau. Let me stop and say this. It's all right to pick it, to use the pick of the litter. Oh, that's what Jacob did in his life. It wasn't until Joseph was born that there was a coat offered to any child. And I can say this to you, that when you study your Bible, you come to find out that the pick of the litter. My son raises these puppies. And I said, "Son, they go pick the pick of the litter." But here's what I'm trying to say to you. Whenever, let me just shift on over just a little bit. Whenever David come into existence with the work of God, He was anointed of God to carry a work out, and God used David. When Samuel is there as a prophet, Samuel is there to do, and probably he had his own idea about this thing of who should be there. And just like Israel, who watched the other nations have a king, they decided, well, we need somebody now. Well, when they got somebody, he's a coward. He couldn't, he had the armor. Didn't fit very well on David, but he had the armor. But he didn't wear it himself because he was afraid. But see, these boys, now I don't want to get too far off from where I'm at, but these boys here, when they passed through, Jesse's household of children passed through there. And when these boys passed through there, no word from God to Samuel to anoint them. Until David came. Now listen, let me say this to you. God's always been, this Bible is filled with help to us. Our life needs shepherding. What David was, these other boys were not. He was a shepherd. And God was looking for a shepherd. If Israel had waited on God, whenever God gave the person anointed to Israel, there would have been no javelin throwing. But all of these problems and circumstances that David had to face in his beginning, he faced them because of the fact of the people of God's interest in the wrong place. Now, I don't want to try to get too far from where I'm at. Two nations are in the womb. The Edomites, they worshipped gods. They could not. There was no way in the world that you could have placed Esau. You couldn't say Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. There is a child being born of these twins that will go with the God that his father went with. And that will go with his grandfather. No one else can have fit into a place like Jacob could. Jacob is the man. So here's what I'm trying to say. The elder, it scares us sometimes. The elder shall serve the younger. You know, I think about this. The Bible says that Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. It doesn't mean that God hates anybody in specific. That God loves the whole world. But what I'm trying to say is, the nation of Israel is a descending work of Israel. It's going to be a work out of the patriarchs of Jacob's life.
Right.
In the seed of Jacob. So we got the seed of Abraham, seed of Isaac, and the seed of Jacob. But here's Jacob's seed, and Jacob's seed is what produces what we know to be the life of Israel.
Right.
Now, I want to mention this. The providence of God. Esau's nation, the Edomites' nation, they served other gods. There's no way that you could place him in any place following these patriarchs.
Right.
All right, now, watch this. Jacob then struggled. His struggle was deep there, but his struggle is now for his birthright. I cannot tell you how much that I do believe in my heart that God. Now, and I don't know how to hardly say this. Dr. Seitler said, God can take a crooked stick. Take that old crooked stick, said he can draw a straight line with it.
Amen.
I don't understand everything that God does, but I read it and I believe it.
Sure.
I don't have any problem with what I believe.
Yeah.
And I want to say to you that when you look at the final analysis, when they put Jacob over there, they put Jacob over there in the place of burial, in the place where God intended the burial to be. Abraham was buried there. Isaac was buried there. Their wives were buried there. And by the way, Hagar wasn't buried there.
That's right.
Rebekah was buried there.
Yep.
And when you come down to the grave site, to visit the grave site, there is a man that capsizes. Somehow or another, all of us might have been supplanters and might have been, it's hard to tell what I'd done.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think about this thing, tricksters. I mean, there's so many names we could give him.
Yeah.
And I want to say this to you. This thing about the birthright, the right to be the firstborn. It just a struggle is going on. Well, he won the victory. He come out first, and the Bible tells us that the first came out in verse number 25, came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out. His hand took hold on Esau's heel. Really. He's not losing any battle. He's not going to lose any battle. Somehow or another, God gave instructions in the womb. So when Jacob saw it happening, and he's losing out, he grabs the heel. And he comes out with him. And what I'm trying to say is, the battle for birth becomes a battle for a birthright. And what Jacob is interested in is who will be the one God will bless.
Amen.
And what we ought to want more than anything else in the world is for God's blessings to be upon our life,
yes,
for God's will to be done,
yes,
in our life, for God's way to be approved of us. We can go the way of God and we won't miss the mark.
Amen.
So the seed promise is given. And it's not given to us, not given to Esau, but to Jacob.
Yeah.
God's providence prevails. Really, these things about the elder serving the younger, God's just taking a crooked stick. He's taking an individual. I don't know whether that sprang from Isaac, or whether that sprang from Rebekah. But we do know that God knew when those two children come out the womb that the battle is going on in the womb and the battle will continue.
Right.
And could I stop and say this to you? The battle is not over.
Right. That's right.
And we are still watching the working of how that Israel, Lord, the trouble and the sorrow that Israel as a nation has gone through. But I'll tell you, just like they backed them up years ago, it'd be a pitiful thing for any nation, I don't care who it is, America or anyone else, to fight with Israel.
Yes, sir.
Because God has got His hand upon them. God will bless them and God will meet the needs in their life.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to go a little further. Now, Jacob had this matter of a great meal, the pottage of linen. And he had drink, and he had opportunity to watch. He's watching the life. He's supplanting, really, but he's watching the life of Esau. And Esau comes in, and these children grew, and Esau comes in, and he's tired, he's wore out, he wants help, and he seeks after help. And so The Bible said that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob sod pottage. And Esau came to the field and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was the name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall the birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread, pottage of lentils, and did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. No way in the world that you could ever despise something that you knew God was in.
Yeah.
So God has put Jacob into his life with a birthright. Now, the battle still will be on, but there will be a birthright. Amen. All right, then Jacob's struggle came to Bethel, or where the dream came, and God extended a ladder down to the earth and up into the heaven, and God was there talking to him. So Jacob, God's meeting with Jacob was his promise to him. And in chapter 28, let me look here just a moment. Chapter 28, the Bible said in verse 14, said, "Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and thee, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. For behold," and here's the key.
Yep.
Here's the key. God said, "I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places." No matter wherever Jacob goes, God is going to be with him to bring him through these trials of life and struggles of life. So the hour of many afflictions are there in Jacob's life, but he don't know exactly what God is doing. Now, I want to mention something to you about Jacob's bride. Jacob struggles for a bride. And every conniver, supplanter, trickster, whatever problem that you're having into your life, or whatever problem we have in our life, the problem that we have will have to be met with God. God's going to have to deal with it. In other words, for any trickster, we've got to meet our trickster. So Uncle Laban becomes the answer to a lot of the problems that Jacob has.
Yeah.
So here's something I want you to look at. Whenever our Laban comes into our life, we have to watch out. Laban will take out of us what God can't use. So somehow or another, Jacob labored. He's fastened his eyes. I'm having to cover some area that we don't have time to cover all of it. And Jacob sees that pretty girl, Rachel. And his heart is given to Rachel. No one else will do. This is the woman for my life. And Jacob decides, when he meets with Laban, he says, I'll work 7 years to be able to have Rachel. And so he decided that he would go ahead and work for Rachel. And so here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And I will be with thee." And so Jacob has come to the place where that Jacob wants. I'm having a little bit of a backlash here on what I'm trying to say. But whenever his desire was to have Leah, whenever his desire was to have Rachel, Rachel is the person that incorporates his heart. He's got his heart here.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that he feels like is best. Sometimes the things that you feel like is best for your life is not the best for your life.
That's right. Amen.
Sometimes it'll be the very worst for your life.
Right.
But let me say this. More important than anything is to be able to find out where you are in your life. Laban will help you find that out. Laban will bring things together for you. Laban will help you understand where you are. And so there's a working out of labor to have Rachel. And then they put the veil. It was in the evening time. They put the veil upon the head. And evidently there's a union being gathered together, but he thinks that he's with Rachel.
Right.
And it turns out he's with Leah.
Yep.
Now, let me see if I can say this right. Leah undoubtedly was not pretty. About Rachel, it said she was beautiful. But Leah didn't say anything about being beautiful.
Right.
It could be possible that Leah was a little on the ugly side. But let me say this to you. She was very vital and important to his life.
Yeah,
he didn't realize what all was happening in his life. And I'll take this down to a point to close out this morning service. Whenever Rachel's desired, and you wake up the next morning and you find that you've been in the tent with Leah, the scriptures are very careful that she felt hated.
Right.
She felt hated because he never really learned to love her. And he didn't appreciate, really his anger was more with Laban than it was with Leah. But he couldn't love Leah because he didn't want Leah. And his heart was not given to Leah. So let me just say this to you. Sometimes God will put people in your life. And the reason God put them in your life, you see, there was 6 children born to Jacob by Leah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was not, Rachel didn't have but 2 children.
Right.
And this Bible is kind of confusing at times because we see people with multiple wives, we see them with concubines. And so here we have 2 handmaidens that have been given to 2 daughters. And after he worked another 7 years, Rachel becomes his. So now he's got 2 wives and then he's got 2 handmaidens. And these, all 4 of these produces, and sometimes it kind of scares us thinking about this, but all 4 of these produce 12 patriarchs. And sometimes you get to wonder and say, well, how in the world does all this work? Well, would Jesus come through a lineage? And there were 4 harlots in his lineage. Now, what I'm trying to say is, God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line.
Amen.
I don't understand how God does all that he does. But let me see if I can... I got a world of material here I'm trying to siphle something out of. And leave something that'll help you. Whenever I look at this situation and I think about the ending of Jacob's life, and he's fixing to pass on off. He buries Rachel. And Benjamin is born. Whenever Rachel can't make it any further. And God has blessed Jacob with Benjamin, but on the other hand, God has took something away from him. And Rachel has departed. So He takes her to the cemetery. And I'll just say this to you. Whenever Rachel is put in the tomb, whatever, a great loss has gone out of Jacob's life. But whenever Leah died, you think about this. Over and over, Leah tried to win the confidence of Jacob and couldn't. Over and over, she wanted to be loved by Jacob, and he wouldn't. But when the final analysis came down, two handmaidens, when you get to thinking about it, it's back yonder in the book of Genesis, God has set a seed plot, preacher mentioned this morning. And that seed plot, that has to do with the way God wants things done.
Sure.
That's why Adam was put with Eve.
Right.
And the two of them, they died being partners.
Right.
That's the way God ordained the family situation to be. And I hate to even mention divorce anymore, because that divorce is an awful thing, and everybody looks like after. If you don't deal with it yourself, you'll deal with it with your family.
That's right. Yeah.
And we're not putting. I thank God, so many people in our churches been forgiven of divorce and go on.
Amen.
And I want to thank God for them. And if you've had that problem, I'll thank God for you. I thank God that I didn't have that problem.
Right.
But I want to thank God for you. Now, here's what I'm saying. That Old Testament set the standard, you see. Me and the preacher was talking a little bit yesterday about the situation, you know, a lot of times with preachers, and they just keep going with their marriage. They change wives out. I wonder sometimes how in the world does preachers expect to set the standard
right.
for the church, for the people of God, when they do what they do.
Right.
But all we have got to get a hold of ourselves and believe the Word of God. And somehow or another, whenever I see in this life of Jacob, when he closes out his life, here's this burial ground. I forget now where it's at. Here it is right here in chapter 35. Chapter 35, it says, Rachel died, was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And come down to verse number 23, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And then the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, and then there's Billah and Dan and Naphtali, and then there's verse 26, there's the sons of Zilpher, Leah's handmaid. And so whenever you see these patriarchs, he's been blessed with a great family.
Yes, sir.
And he buries his daddy down here in the next couple of verses, verse 29, Isaac gave up the ghost and died and gathered to his people, being old, full of age, and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. And I don't have time really just to go back through all of this material, but it's in here. Whenever Leah died, Jacob made it clear that he had put Leah with, here's Abraham,
yep,
Sarah, and here's Isaac and Rebecca, and here's Leah, and guess where he's going to be buried?
That's right. Right.
And he instructs his children, take him back. Don't bury me here. And the thing that he thought he had to have wasn't right for him.
Yep.
But the thing that he thought he didn't want became the very thing that he loved.
Amen.
Finally, Jacob learned to love what God intended him to have. It don't look like when this thing is coming together that God's anywhere in it at all. But let me say to you that regardless to how you look at things, God, He's got His providence in your life. He's looking out for you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to bring you through. And whatever trouble, whatever struggle that you're in, whatever affliction that you're facing, let me say to you, the Lord will bring you through it.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for it. Lord, thank you for the day. Pray that you'll help us today. May the perfect will of God be done in our heart and life. Help us, Lord, that we might somehow or another single in on the very thing that you'd have us to say.
Yes.
Help the people of God today. We want to thank you for the pastor, for the church, for the great testimony in this community. And I pray that you would use, bless Brother Hall, take care of him. I pray that you'd use this work to bring glory and honor. Thank you for the many missionaries on the wall. I appreciate, Lord, how good you blessed this church. And I want to thank you for how that you blessed us and helped us. Thank you for the privilege to be here today. In Jesus' name. Pastor, you come up here and give the invitation.